So, welcome to Geeks of the Square Table, episode 140. I'm your host, Lawrence of America, and today with me is...
Taylor.
And Adam.
That was the most straightforward opening I can ever remember happening here.
This is like the first actual opening I remember us having.
Yeah, usually it's just us in the middle of a conversation. But I guess we were...
Y'all were obsessed with your phones.
Well, you were off taking care of business owner stuff, which is understandable. So we just kind of like were kind of running out of things. We were talking about Pokemon just before you arrived.
You were saying something like there was 150 original Pokemon.
Oh, yeah.
And then every generation added 100.
Roughly.
At least 100. So you're talking somewhere between 750 and 900 Pokemon.
Yeah, I'd say round it up to 900 with Gen 7 that's coming out a couple of months from now. Almost exactly a couple of months. I believe it's November 8th? Or is it 18th?
I don't know for sure.
Whatever. Sometime in November, the new Pokemon's coming out. So a couple of months.
Sun and Moon.
Yep.
Because they ran out of colors.
Yep. And they are still slowly drip feeding new information about it every week. This week's reveal was Fatticate, the fat Raticate.
Everybody's favorite Pokemon, Raticate. It's a new form.
Yeah. Well, okay, so it's one of the new Alola forms of old Pokemon, kind of given a tropical bent. New typing, new appearances. So you know, there's.
I wouldn't necessarily say that was a tropical.
Okay, so
you
the Alola Vulpix in Ninetales are the opposite of tropical. They're now ice types.
I did see that one.
They look damn cool, actually. No pun intended. But I was telling you a few minutes ago, I do hope that they're not using the Alola forms as an excuse to not do as many new Pokemon.
I mean, that's what brought up the amount they have. I mean,
yeah.
By the time you come up with 1,000 different Pokemon, you've got to be...
Well, certainly, they've already recycled several ideas. Like, they've done, like, several variations on mice, on cats, on...
Worms, or...
Yeah. They've got, like, 50 butterflies.
Yeah.
Butterflies and moths.
Butterflies and moths.
So, yes, they are already recycling ideas. And
tons of birds.
Every generation, there's a lot of them that do seem like they're kind of phoning it in. But every generation also introduced some damn cool things, too. So, you know, credit where credit's due. I'm just still interested in seeing what the final forms of the starters are going to be.
That would be interesting.
That's usually the basis for me choosing which one to get. Because I was all in for Finnegan, the fire fox, in Gen 6.
And then you saw the final form? And
then I saw Greninja, who's a fucking ninja frog.
Ninja Frog, yeah, Greninja stole that generation.
That is hard to talk me out of. And I almost always go for the fire type, like Charizard, Turnip, Typhlosion. Typhlosion and Feraligatr.
There's really only one version that I went for the grass type, and that was Chestnut, I think is his name.
Oh yeah, the Gen 6 one?
Yeah, he looked pretty cool.
Oh, so you got talked out of the Ninfrog.
No, I did do the Ninja Frog. I've played multiple games of that.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so.
Gen 5, I maintain, was probably the weakest generation of starters. That's where you have Serperior and
Is that black and white?
That is black and white.
Yeah, probably.
That was...
I didn't even use a starter in that one. When I first started, my friend had the game maybe a day before I did, and was already breeding Pokemon, and he gave me a level 1 Axel that he hatched from an egg. So that was my starter for the entire game.
Wow. That's not a bad one.
No, it was not.
I mean, its final form is, what's it called again?
Haxorus.
Yeah, that thing is beast.
That thing is beast.
Yeah, it's fast as heck and has
a dragon.
Ridiculous attack stat.
Definitely.
Yeah, so. So, I'm sorry, Larry, we must be boring you to tears.
No, I was looking on Wikipedia. According to Wikipedia, there are 721 different Pokemon.
Okay, so...
That's not including...
The upcoming one?
Yeah, the upcoming 7th gen.
Okay.
So, if they do add another 150, that would put you pretty close to 900.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
They probably ran out of ideas. Well, then again, every generation adds in at least a few that are genuinely inspired and cool. But
Now,
yeah, they definitely have had to recycle quite a few.
I wonder how many are actually truly, you know, like you got Fatata or Ratata and Fatata.
Fat Raticate.
Yeah, it's just a fat. It's just whatever. A fat Raticate.
But yeah, there's like. So there's natural, the three different evolutions.
Yeah.
Now they're counting that as three separate Pokemon. And then the different version. Yeah. I was wondering, so how many...
I doubt they will count the Fat Raticate as its own Pokemon. He's got to be special form.
Much like there's like multiple versions of things like Deoxys or Rotom, things like that. I don't think those should count as their own unique thing. They're just... Different version of it.
I wonder how many actual, if you boil it down and if you set everything, oh, this is just a different version of this, you know, these are all different forms of that, well, how many there are.
They have to have, I think, their own unique name. That's probably the best way to
Right. There's 721 unique names.
All right.
But yeah, that's counting, you know, saying, Trevant, you know, and Phantom, you know.
Are you just, like, looking at random Pokemon names right now?
Well, this is just, they happen to be number 709. You should look at the list. Yeah. Yeah. So it's counting that as one, and the one it evolves from as one. Yeah, so.
Well, that makes sense. They should do, because that's, you're having to come up with a new design for each step in that evolutionary tree. And...
In any event, though, I mean, the reason why we started talking about Pokemon in the first place was because we were talking about how Pokemon Go was coming out with a new update with it, to where you can actually, it has a buddy system now, so you can actually train your Pokemon.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Pokemon Go has been great for what it was, but there's been some major complaints. Amongst them, there's a lot of thematic dissonance between the way most people are used to playing Pokemon and the way Pokemon Go encourages you to play Pokemon, where you can't really have a Pokemon on any sort of permanent basis. I mean, the game encourages you to just throw away your weaker versions.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the big deal with the Pokemon games, the handhelds, is that when you get your Pokemon, you actually kind of build some sort of a bond with them over time. Yeah. You sit there and you train them over long periods of time, and it's Pokemon Go, it's just complete consumerism. Yeah, you
swap them for candy.
Swap them for candy.
I was so stoked when I first turned on the game. Holy crap, I captured a Charmander. This is like a childhood dream of mine. I've always, like, you know, wanted this to be a thing, but it's sitting in the bottom of my Pokemon roster, and it's always going to be my weakest one until now. Now I can actually walk it around and earn some candies, because earlier just I can't afford to give that Charmander candies because they're so hard to find. I am never going to get a Charizard if I keep strengthening that.
Well, she found it. I saw one the other day.
Well, see, there's I found like maybe four over the course of playing it for 2 months.
Yeah.
And it takes
it takes forever.
Like 30 something.
Now, I do hear in different parts of the world, in different regions and stuff.
Well, as much as I like the game,
skewed.
I'm not going to move to another city just so that I can get a Charizard.
Right, exactly. Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. So, other cities, it may be a different Pokemon that's really hard to come by.
Yeah. And I do hear that's the case. But this is a cool new way of me actually getting to train up Pokemon that I like quite a lot.
The training ability, that's the...
It's more in line with the way people kind of, I think, envision Pokemon.
Well, yeah. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, training the Pokemon is just as important as catching the Pokemon.
Yeah, I mean, for several generations now in the main games, I have not given two figs about quote-unquote catching them all, because
it's impossible. I will say, in Black and White, I did complete the Pokédex in that game, because Maya and my friend just went ham on it.
I'm legitimately impressed, because that was when they were, like, over 600, I believe.
Yeah, but that was the last time I ever even tried. X and Y, I did not.
I'm just interested in getting a team that I like and training them up. Yeah. I have no interest in quote unquote catching them all at this point. Because I do not hate myself enough to put all that time into getting every single one of them.
Well, and
with like, what are we saying, like 850, let's say?
And, you know, it takes first, a while. First yeah. game, could you trade with the Pokemon in the very first one?
Yeah, you can.
In fact, you had to if you wanted to complete the Pokedex because there were version exclusives. Pokemon's always been, you know, that's how they get you. You got to get both versions if you want to, or at least know someone with another version. And yeah, you had to physically be in their presence to trade Pokemon because you had a link cable that was maybe like a foot long.
Oh yeah, you'd see tons of kids at recess with just link cables, just sitting there trading Pokemon back and forth.
But you know, this is making me wax nostalgic because this was back in the day when like these idiotic rumors that could not be shut down by internet facts would abound on playgrounds, where it's like, hey, I heard that if we turn off the game with perfect timing while the transfer is taking place, it'll clone the stronger Pokemon.
Actually, you can clone Pokemon, I believe.
The hell you say?
I'm pretty sure you can. But
man, this is taking me back, right?
I know, right? But no, my favorite one was Mew. Everybody had an idea where Mew
like,
was.
My favorite one was like you trade a Pokemon with strength, and then you go and you push like a boulder out of the way.
Yeah,
like and that lets you like push a pickup truck. Uh-huh. I don't know why. I remember you said it was a pickup truck. You push it out of the way, and Mew's underneath.
Why would the most legendary Pokemon be hiding underneath a pickup truck?
He was fixing it, I guess. I don't know. Maybe Mew's mechanic in its spare time. But no, this was like it was things like if you beat Zelda Ocarina of Time 20 times in a row, it lets you use a gun, or like you can get the Fierce Deity Mask in Majora's Mask without having to collect all the masks if you do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
This was back in the day with like you know strategy guides and just crazy cockamamie rumors.
When not everyone had the internet in their pocket, you know, yeah, people. You know, would buy the magazines, try various things. Like the original Zelda, you could skip, if you knew it well enough, you could skip the first, you know, like five dungeons and still get the stuff, like get the next level sword, you know, and you could do it. If you knew where all the heart containers were without actually not beating any of the levels, you could collect everyone on the map and get the Master Sword. Yeah. But, of course, to figure out all that stuff, you'd have to play it way too much, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's still kind of cool that it rewards your scrutiny, that, you know, there's a benefit to being proficient at it. But yeah, it does sound like it's a good thing you're making your own sunshine there, because objectively that sounds like a real slog.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not too hard if you've played through before. Now, if I picked up a game, a copy of it now, and I could go and easily get the Silver Sword, which is the second sword, you know, just out of sheer memory, because I've played it so many times, yeah.
Cool.
And it's crazy, but games like that, you know, I mean, I don't know how a lot of people beat them without strategy guides or something, you know.
Games like if Dark Souls came out 20 years ago, I don't know how anyone would do well at it, because that game relies so much on kind of like, the game encourages you to leave hints behind for other players to find. It's kind of like a beat the boss by committee type deal, where it says like, hey, I know this boss was kicking your ass, you need to equip these things. In that way, it's kind of like kicking it old school a bit. Dark Souls.
Well, it's like, and that was part of my problem with Majora's Mask. What the? Everybody loved Majora's Mask.
I love Majora's Mask.
And a lot of people did. My problem with Majora's Mask is it was designed with in the mind that you are going to have a walkthrough.
That is true.
Probably, yeah.
Some of the, I mean, like, this is the first Zelda game where they designed it to not be beatable without a walkthrough.
It is definitely a more convoluted game.
I think you can beat it, the four dungeons without a walkthrough, but getting all the masks, that would be a...
Well, and what most people forget...
That's a daunting task.
You have 24 minutes to figure out to get the first mask.
Oh, well, that's true.
And then the game's up over.
It's fairly straightforward.
Well, 72 minutes. That's what it was.
It's not so impenetrable the first three-day cycle.
So you've got to be able to reset time. But, okay, and the first day cycle, there's stuff you have to do in the first 12 minutes of the game.
I don't think that's accurate.
I mean, there's stuff that if you don't do it on the first day, you can't do it. You can't get the mask.
If memory serves, you need to make it to the Great Fairy, which Tattle, your partner, advises you to do. And so if you can get in there and then it tells you, hey, go find the Stray Fairy. Finding the Stray Fairy might be hard, but at least you know to look for it. And then you need to get the bomber's notebook. Well, not the notebook. You need to work with the bombers to get your access to the
temple.
Yeah, to get the example of the observatory so you can get the moon tier so you can go inside the Deku. Okay, so saying this all out loud, yes, this all does sound rather.
The game was designed for you to lose it.
That's not necessarily a bad thing, though. I mean,
and so that was a big. Change in the Zelda franchise.
I feel like it's okay, for there to be some trial and error with this thing.
Yeah,
but I think the good thing
with Majora's Mask is it does have a lot of trial and error because you can restart your 3-day cycle and you can try things that you haven't tried before.
I remember playing it so much that I have like a quote unquote like. Thank you. Checklist I have to go through every time I beat the game.
Yeah.
Like, I have to get Anju and Cafe back together. I have to beat all the temples so that, like, all the horrible winter whatever and all that crap is gone. I try to do as much good as possible that you can do in the 3-day cycle before you save land or whatever. But Majora's Mask was a great game. It was one of the bigger risks they've ever taken in a Zelda game, in the sense that it was a far darker tone, and the game, the whole time cycle mechanic and mask mechanic were, pretty far removed from your typical Zelda experience. And also, it's so much more about the side quests, I feel like, than it is the actual temples.
Oh, definitely.
There's only like four, and only one of them is really good.
Yeah.
Unless you want to count the moon.
Because, I mean, if you're just going to play the temples, you could be done with that game in a couple hours. Probably. But if you're doing all the side quests, it could take quite a while to beat.
See, but I still stand by that it was required to have the strategy guide. It was intended.
I beat it without the strategy guide.
Beat it
the first time.
Beat it 100%.
Yeah.
To just quote unquote beat the
so
game.
So you're saying
no, you can do that.
You beat it the first time, first run through.
Four temples, no strategy guide. There was no strategy guide.
Did you lose the game the first time?
I mean, I lost the game multiple times.
All right. See. Okay. That was my issue. That
Man,
was the first
Larry,
the first
how,
Zelda
Larry
game.
Larry just doesn't like to lose.
How
this,
no, no, this
high
the
are
first
your
Zelda
personal standards where you consider any game where you get killed at any point to be just cruelly hard?
I was
hard.
Able to beat all the other Zelda games without dying. So the fact that you couldn't do that drove me crazy. The fact that I had to have the
you
strategy.
You can do out. That. You just
without you just without somebody.
Sucks to suck, bro.
Yeah, I mean, and the big thing that I didn't like about it was the fact that it didn't have the open world feel. Yeah, you couldn't just go around exploring everything because of the time crunch. And
that
was the first thing it really ups because when I first got a Zelda game, I'd go
at the same time
explore for 4 or 5 hours.
At the same time, though, I feel like I have a much more intimate relationship with, you know, that whole town, because I know when every single thing is going to happen, how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen, when I have to be exactly everywhere.
Also, the atmosphere adds a lot to kind of, you really feel like you're accomplishing something important when you fix their, when you fix things for them. Like, the townspeople, you know, they, Zelda's always got like a pretty colorful cast, and they've got fun characters and everything, but I will probably never feel a moment of catharsis in a Zelda game like I did the first time I managed to do the Anju Cafe quest. That was such a powerful moment, not just in Zelda, but in any game I've ever played. They put things together so well to kind of create this sense of anxiety and dread, and then catharsis when you manage to fix things. It's, I don't think it's the best Zelda game. I don't. It's too short, and the controls have not aged well. But I will say it's probably the most artistically made.
And, you know, I'm not going to argue with whether or not it's, you know, a bad game. It just wasn't a Zelda game I liked. And I was
That's
a
fair.
Huge fan.
Well, I mean, to each their own.
Yeah, and it's definitely one of those things that most, it's weird. It's a game that most people love, and most people that love it may, or I mean, they, a lot of people love that Zelda game, but no other. There are some people that love every Zelda game, but
I do love every Zelda game, including Majora's Mask. But I can understand people may be liking this one and not liking the others, or liking the others and not liking this one, because just, they are different enough that I can understand. If you want to read more on my thoughts, I actually wrote an article about this 2 years ago.
It's actually one of the most popular articles on the website.
Oh, cool. Okay, so yeah, video games you should have played by now, Majora's Mask. Yay! All right.
OutrightGeekery.com.
Plug. But, hey, man.
Hello, how are you doing?
Oh, speaking of Zelda, they are still kind of building up to the new one, Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
Which you should love quite a lot, because they are really doubling down on the exploration open world concept. A lot of people are saying it's supposed to be like Legend of Zelda Skyrim. Hmm. When is it? It comes out next year, right?
Comes out. It's supposed to come out on the NX, and the NX hasn't come out yet, so.
Yeah, it's supposed to be one of those things where like it comes out on the Wii U and the NX, kind of like Twilight Princess came out on Wii and GameCube,
yeah.
I think. Okay, so yeah, we're probably still a ways out. I guess Nintendo is kind of just, if they're going to go ahead and not have like a standalone Zelda thing just for Wii U, they probably have thrown in the towel on Wii U.
They have definitely thrown in the towel on Wii U. The Wii U has kind of failed.
Well, I mean, there's some great, I mean, I got a Wii U so that I could play Super Smash Bros., and I also have played Splatoon, which is an awful lot of fun.
Splatoon is fun.
So yeah, good games. I don't. So just because of those two games, I do not regret owning a Wii U. But that being said, I think the most recent Star Fox Zero is probably the most, the nail in the coffin of, man, that game really was ruined by forcing on the motion controls. It's, the motion controls are nice when they work, but Nintendo needs to get away from basing everything around it.
Yeah. I don't know. They just need to get away from making everything that they do a gimmick.
Yeah.
Well, it's not necessarily everything they do is a gimmick, I wouldn't say.
What? Console-wise, it is.
Really, I think they try to completely stand out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that being said, I get what Adam's saying, because, like, a lot of my favorite games for the Wii and for, like, the DS have nothing to do with the touch controls or the motion.
My favorite games from the Wii were Zelda. Well, Zelda. There was a Fire Emblem game on the Wii that was great, and it didn't use touch, it didn't use the waggle controls at all.
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially a board game.
Yeah.
Or chess, I guess, is closer than board. Whatever.
Probably
the point is
chess.
The point is that, yeah, you're right. Motion controls had nothing to do with that. Fire Emblem Awakening on my DS has nothing to do with the motion or the touchscreen or anything like that.
I mean, the only real touchscreen control or the motion controls that I really liked on the Wii were those original Wii sports games that they came out with.
And I mean, I think they worked well with Twilight Princess, but they did not work well when they made him like the central feature in Skyward Sword.
No.
I mean, Skyward Sword didn't suck, but it was just,
it wasn't a bad game, but it
didn't have the normal, man, instant classic feel that
most
of the Zelda games
have. It's definitely a forgotten Zelda game.
Yeah, I mean, just I played through it and it was pretty good, but I remember thinking, God, this would be so much better if I wasn't having to like slow down every fight to reposition my arm so that the motion control plus would like register that I had to swing from a diagonal angle and shit like that. Normal Zelda games are just maybe based over like a theme or a concept or an aesthetic or something. This one was based around the motion controls. It, when that is the priority, the overall quality does suffer.
Yeah.
And again, not a bad game, but just not up to standard. Well, but Breath of the Wild looks like it's going back in the right direction. Well, we know very little about it, but what we have seen so far looks pretty cool.
Yeah, they've incorporated a lot of RPG elements into the game.
Yep, you equip Link's armor, you can, like, pick up weapons and whatnot, you have, like, a cooking system.
So they're basically catching up to the last decade of adventure games, which, it's fine.
Yeah.
Well, you know, all of Nintendo's core titles have all been aimed at something they want, you know, mom and dad to be able to play as well, you know?
Sure. I mean, you can be family-friendly without dumbing it down. I mean, look at things like Avatar.
It's not necessarily
most of the Zelda games.
Dumbing it down, you know, it's as keeping the controls intuitive or simple.
Okay, sure.
You know, and sometimes, yes, you know, the prime gamer is craving more complexity.
Yeah. I will say, with the Wii, anybody can pick that up and play any game.
And, like, you're talking about the sports game, you know, of course, those games were designed by Nintendo to show off the features of the controls and everything. And
my mom did love the bowling game.
There were definitely, probably, I mean, playing any, you know, the, quote, virtual reality titles, you know, that have been out there over the years, that's the closest I've ever felt to I was doing an actual sport while playing a game, you know, was those Wii titles. So,
you
have
figured
to
out
give
you
them
just
that.
Sit on your couch and flick your wrist into it.
Yeah. You killjoy, I mean. Yes, you can always game the system, but I feel like playing it as intended is more rewarding.
Oh, it definitely is.
Yeah, and of course, that makes me think of the Big Bang episode where he's Sheldon's playing archery and he shoots with the Wii and goes over there and retrieves the arrows out of the TV or whatever, you know. It's like, I've got to pretend the rest. Nintendo can only do so much.
You know what? Good for him making it as immersive for himself as he can.
Yeah,
but
and I'm sure there are little kids out there that actually would do that, you know. I know if I was 5 years old and had a Wii, I would be one of those little kids. Yeah. But, I don't know, I've kind of grown out of the video games a lot. Not that I don't enjoy them when I do play the current stuff, it's just, F man, I don't have the time. It's like, I loved Fallout, you know, I'm a post-apocalypse fan, stuff like that. You know, and it's a great story game, you know, but I don't have the time to get into it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I barely have the time to play games. I can only imagine you not having any time. You're always running around here.
So, I mean,
you do a lot to keep this show up running, Larry, and we appreciate it.
Well, thank you. But, yeah, I mean, that's, and of course, that's not any small business. It's going to be that way, you know. Just everything in life, you know. But, really, the downfall of video games is always the social interaction, which, you know, there a lot of them have gotten more socially interactive, and that's what I really liked about the Wii, is it always, you know, Nintendo always seemed more to encourage you to play with your friends.
See, that's the kind of social interactive I like. Like, I like the Wii, because I like everybody gathering around the TV to all play a game. But Sony and Microsoft are more on the line of everybody, you know, on their own separate system. Like, I can interact with a guy from Korea, but I don't want
to
talk to a guy
that
from Korea.
That, to me, is not socially interactive, really, the same way.
Also, a lot of modern gaming, quote-unquote, interaction is a hate-filled, vile cesspool of the worst aspects of humanity.
Right, yeah. And what is the fun of, you know, cursing out an 11-year-old if you don't get to see the tears on that 11-year-old's face?
Exactly.
You spiteful, spiteful man.
Or, as more likely, having that 11-year-old curse out you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if we're playing like Call of Duty, that 11-year-old is probably kicking my ass.
Right, exactly.
So, I don't know how much cursing out of
that 11-year-old Korean boy is getting paid more to play that game.
They do have a very large professional gaming scene, so
they do.
Speaking of video games, though, I was telling Adam earlier, they showed a gameplay teaser for the upcoming Mass Effect Andromeda. I say gameplay teaser, it's mostly just the dude walking around, and they showed some kind of cool environmental effects, but it's kind of misleading to call it a gameplay teaser like they did, since there wasn't any combat or even, like, dialogue wheel.
No character interactions.
Yeah, okay, so Mass Effect to me is about the character interaction.
Yeah, it's all about character interaction.
I love the exploration. I missed the Mako from the first game and everything, but they didn't really show off much that was worth looking at in this. That being said, I already have kind of a love-hate relationship with Mass Effect in that I love the first two games and hate the ending of the third one.
See, even the third one, I think the third one is great all the way up to the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I was having a great time until, you know, I got to the... I mean, it's one of those things where, like, after the fact, there's a lot of things like, God, I wish they hadn't done that. Like, I wish they hadn't made Cerberus the Sith Empire. I wish they hadn't, kind of reined back the grounded sci-fi that they were usually going for.
Mm-hmm.
But that ending, though, was just... That was a dumpster fire.
Yeah, which color do you like?
Blue, but that's, like, my least favorite ending. God. But okay. I want Andromeda to be good. I'm not going to get a day one, because I'm never going to give BioWare the benefit of the doubt like that again.
BioWare is definitely... Well... I mean, BioWare is owned by EA now.
And most should have known better. Mass Effect 2 was good.
Mass Effect 2 was good, but that was back when the original people who ran BioWare was still there. Most of the original people are gone now.
Yeah.
And so now BioWare is just another subsidiary of EA, and it's going to continue falling under the EA crap
I was still feeling all bitchy towards BioWare when Dragon Age Inquisition came out. I heard that was pretty good.
Actually, Inquisition was pretty good.
Okay. So, maybe Andromeda will be good. I hope it is, but I'm gonna have to...
Inquisition was a lot better than Dragon Age 2. Dragon Age 2 was a...
They managed to leap that hurdle? Okay, wow.
Piece of crap. No, it was a pretty good game. You got the world exploration, you got a ton of very interesting characters.
Okay. But, I mean, it's... Andromeda's going to have to get a lot of good word of mouth for me to come out to it. I am bitter and angry about Mass Effect now.
That being said,
I'm playing Mass Effect... I started playing a file of Mass Effect again for the first time in a few years recently. I'm playing through Mass Effect 2 right now. And I'm reminded why I love this franchise in the first place. I mean, it hasn't been retroactively ruined for me, and that's good.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the few game franchises where it makes you legitimately care about the characters.
Yeah.
In an emotional way.
I'm never going to shoot Rex, I'm never going to do a file, no matter how renegade-y I am, where I kill Rex, because Rex is, the boss. Ah, man. Ah, but we're losing Larry again.
Well, Larry's just flipping through the...
Flipping
the
through previews. Should we talk about comics now? In this comic shop, on this ostensibly comic-themed podcast? Valid
point. There's no comics in the name of this podcast.
Oh, that's true.
This is geek culture.
Yeah, okay.
Now, in Mass Effect,
we actually have a comic book podcast, This Geek in Comics, for anyone.
Haven't been on it in a month, but...
Plug. Okay, but you were saying there?
I was saying, Mass Effect is one, actually, of the games I have played a little bit of in the newer games. But, to be honest, I mainly played it so I could understand what someone was talking about.
I could see that.
Because they were completely obsessed with it.
Oh, I love Mass Effect. It's like playing through a cooler version of Star Trek. And I love Star Trek. I'm saying that as someone who, like, is just head over heels for Star Trek. I like Mass Effect universe a little bit better than Star Trek's.
Lisa?
Yeah. Ah, but anyway.
I was about to say, Harley Quinn, that doing a punk rock band, I'm sure that'll...
What's the name of her band?
Harley Quinn and the Skullbags.
She's still in Black Canary shtick.
Yeah, I'm sure that will sell.
Well, Harley's all over the place now.
Harley Quinn sells, period, I mean.
Yeah, and DC is cooling off, but we expected it to.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's still doing way better than it was this time last year.
You know, good for them, because DC, sometime in the New 52, I think I always say it was around...
it's around 25. Maybe.
Yeah, it was for me. It was the start of that Forever Evil event.
Yeah.
Other than Brian Azzarello's Wonder Woman and a little bit of Snyder's Batman here and there, but I got tired of that too. There was a pretty drastic drop after the honeymoon period during DC's New 52, and Rebirth so far. I mean, we've kind of. I feel like they're in their stride now, and it's pretty good.
I mean, most of their books have finished their first arc, or are in the middle of finishing their first arc.
I mean, the bloom is off the rose now, but...
Yeah, the bloom is off the rose, and I definitely believe that all of the books are of a better quality now than what they were before.
Yeah. I'd agree with that.
I'm definitely reading a lot more DC books than I was last year, which is ultimately the main goal.
Right, and to say that, you know... Even that on my orders where, they're still coming out with a few new books.
Yeah,
here
this
and
week
there,
I'm
slowly.
Supergirl and Cyborg are both out this week. That being said, I didn't pick up either one of those, so I feel like the hype has gone now.
They're starting
their
life.
Were you a big Supergirl or Cyborg fan anyway?
I read it at the start of New 52 Supergirl, but...
Well, and I think they were smart not to do a total relaunch of everything all at once like they did with the New 52.
Yeah.
Because most people, it was too much. Now people are getting to read... They're slowly going... They did like three or four titles. Here's a couple titles.
It's one thing to have just like 10 number ones come out and then you have to pick and choose, but if you have that one Cyborg come out this week, I can be like, well, I can add one more book this week.
If it's a slow week, I can fit that into rotation a lot more easily.
Like a lot of people have been adding it more so than other strategies.
Are they still doing they're all returnable?
The first 3 months of a book is returnable.
Okay.
All right. So the titles that had a rebirth issue, which not all of them did, like some of them are legitimately new titles, and those, the ones with the rebirth and 1-5 are returnable if they're biweekly. Or the ones that are monthly, the first 3 issues are returnable.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but that being said, by the time I order 4, I can see my sales on, my initial orders for 4, I've seen my sales for number 1. Okay. My FOCs for 4, I've seen, 1 and 2.
Sounds very good for you then, how much.
Or at least on like the bi-weekly books, I have a pretty good track record of how they're going to sell by the time I'm ordering the non-returnables. And there's a lot of titles that I think because I ordered extra, I'm selling way more than if I would ever chanced on, because would I have ordered, 50 copies of some of these obscure characters? No, I would have ordered 5.
50 copies of Blue Beetle.
And so
Blue
I can do
that. Blue
Beetle's
one of those interesting characters. We're very beloved in the comic book world, but the vast majority of people have no idea who he's supposed to be.
And a lot of people like him in the comic book world, but not a lot of people are willing to pay for him.
Oh, I want to know.
Exactly.
Case in point. But Marvel did something similar a couple years ago with the whole kind of stagger out the number ones, like kind of do the relaunch in phases, and copy what works. Good for them. But speaking of Marvel, I mean, we kind of are down on them lately. I mean, most of the good books are still pretty good. Like, I still enjoy Ms. Marvel and...
Thor's still great.
Thor's still great. But... there is kind of a... there's a general lack of excitement going through Marvel these days. A lot of it has to do with Civil War II being a dud.
And they added an issue to it.
Those fools.
I know.
You know, and people are really just... they're confused.
Well, it is kind of a reversal of the status quo of the last decade or so, where DC's the more exciting
company
than Marvel.
Well, no, I was talking about Marvel's world, you know. I mean, whereas it's very easy for me, the retailer, to tell people, oh, hey, this is where you start reading this. And somebody says, what's going on with DC? I can give them the rundown. Now, when people say, what's going on with this character in Marvel? I can go, this character is not, you know, or this, well, you know, there's this Spider-Man and this Spider-Man and this Spider-Man. The Secret Wars kind of muddied things a little bit, you know. I'm like, oh, well, this Spider-Man has the Ultimate Spider-Man, the regular 616 Spider-Man, and then the 2099 Spider-Man, all talking, okay. And they have nothing to do with the Spider-Man and the Spider-Man Deadpool book. Don't worry about that. Yeah. So,
I do, like, even as someone who read all of Secret Wars and has been reading, like, New Avengers and, like, has been reading Black Panther since it, Secret Wars ended, I am still at a loss as to what did and did not happen from the pre-Secret Wars world. Like, they retconned the thing about his, like, the from the first issue of New Avengers, Black Panther is, he meets with the Black Swan, she murders a bunch of, like, Wakandan prodigies.
Yeah, and at the end of Secret Wars, it goes, goes back to that, and that never happened.
Never happened. But apparently, the, Thanos and the Black Order still invaded murdered. Wakanda.
Yep.
His sister still got killed. So
Namor still had his problems with, you know.
I'm not sure how that stuff happened, and when none of the
others.
Yeah, none of, what was the name of the thing when an Earth came in?
Oh, an incursion.
When an incursion, if none of the incursions occurred. Why didn't any of this other stuff still happen? I'm at a loss. I cannot explain that at the moment. I don't know what happened and did not happen and who did what. And when you read Ultimates, you get kind of the same.
Well, definitely, because at the beginning of the Ultimates, I mean, Thanos.
That being said, I did just finish the first trade, and it was great.
Oh, it is a great book. But, yeah, and Ultimates is weird because Thanos is outside of space and time because he gets killed in the end of Secret Wars.
Oh, yeah, like, if you haven't read Secret Wars, it's pretty great. Dr. Doom rips his spine out.
Yeah, so Thanos is sitting outside of space and time, but if you go back to, you know, if he was outside of space and time, how did his people invade Earth to destroy...
He's outside space and time. Why did he bother with Earth? My life is now complete. I can own a Bat-Cow plush. Yes.
I like Bat-Cow.
Because of
cool.
Bat-Cow.
I like Bat-Cow.
All right, so we're flipping through previews here, and we indeed have a Bat-Cow. Also a hot girl and...
Oh, yeah, there's...
evil dog things.
Yes, those are the Joker's dogs. We'll be out in plush. Crackers and giggles.
I feel like a bad nerd because I've never heard of the Joker having dogs, let alone them having names.
Yeah.
He had hyenas, but I didn't realize he had crackers and giggles.
Though. And of course they're doing... maybe they are hyenas. I don't know. It's hard to tell in an animated style plush.
Fair enough.
But yeah, they're doing... This is from the Bombshell line. Yeah, they're going to be doing a Flash and a Hot Girl. But yeah, they're also there. I was flipping through there and noticed, Lost Boys sequel. This is going to be a direct sequel to the first movie.
They're not going to have any of the other ones?
Not going to, they're ignoring the tribe and apparently in whatever the last one was called.
Probably for the best.
But the Corey was still in it.
Yeah. Yeah. he's kind of stuck. I think. Now, I don't think he wants to live beyond the 80s or early 90s.
I wouldn't blame him. He was actually popular back then.
Oh, the life he lived.
And of course, now they launched a new Turtles book the other day. Did either of y'all pick it up? Turtles Universe?
I don't pick it up because I don't read them, but yeah, I did see it. But I've been meaning to jump into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but...
I'm curious about the Batman crossover they've been doing.
I heard it was good. Yeah, I heard it was good. They're supposed to have an ongoing book. I can see it right there.
Yeah, Batman Turtles Adventures.
I guess it was really popular.
Now, these are both the animated Turtles, animated Adventures, and animated Batman. That's advertised as a one of six, but we'll see. That actually was outselling regular Batman until Rebirth.
Regular Batman really cooled off towards the end there. Most people didn't like the whole Bloom situation and
Commissioner Gordon
with bunny ears.
Robo Gordon.
Sometimes I think it is for the best just to not make more mundane characters have these fantastical elements to them. Like, Jim Gordon works very well doing what he does as a supporting character, but I don't want to read about him in a mech suit. I can't get behind an idea that sounds that dumb. Oh, well. But that being said, the new Batman has been pretty good in Rebirth. Tom King's writing it. It got dark really fast there in the last couple of issues.
I figured it would. Tom King usually gets classic really Tom dark. King. And it definitely has a much different feel from the last Batman book, just how the issues themselves were laid out.
Yeah.
I'm still on the fence of it, though.
I'm enjoying it,
but I don't know. It doesn't have the instant classic feel that his Vision or his Omega Men have.
Well, that is tough when you go into a situation where there's sky-high expectations. The expectations are probably very high because it's an iconic character like Batman. But hey, maybe he's still got time to turn it around in your eyes, hopefully.
I mean, he's not doing a bad job.
No, he's not.
It's just...
Is there anything else in the previews book?
Well, they're talking about... wrapping up. There's a wrapping up few series. Hot Damn, there's about a trade of that coming out. There's a Joe Hill graphic novel collection coming out. Dirk Gently is going to have another miniseries. I think this is the third or fourth one. Let's see. They're betting a lot of money than IDW is on the Star Trek Waypoint, it seems. That seems to be one that, it's supposed to kind of like tie in the different universes in the comic book universe or something. I don't know. We haven't had real good luck with any of the Star Trek stuff as far as that. They've always been kind of a slow seller, maybe only one or two issues.
Well, I mean, my biggest problem with the IDW Star Trek books are it's the Abrams crew, and nobody wants to read
it. Right, the Waypoint is supposed to take it out of the Abrams crew. Abramsverse, or whatever they're calling it.
I think Abramsverse, yeah.
That's what the fans are calling it. CBS has a different name.
It's like Kelvin.
Yeah, the Kelvin universe.
Yeah.
Whatever. But speaking of CBS and Star Trek, we are getting closer and closer to their debut of Star Trek Discovery.
Isn't that supposed to be on a streaming site, though?
Yeah.
CBS's digital pilot platform was supposed to air. But yes, the series is supposed to only be on the CBS. Which, if you're a Star Trek fan, that's good.
Yeah, but I love Star Trek, but am I going to pay a subscription fee when I already have a Netflix account just to watch one show?
Well, and here's my thing. I wonder to see how long Star Trek stays on Netflix after this. Because right now, you know, I think you can watch pretty much any Star Trek on Netflix.
The movies are off of it now. The movies are on Hulu now.
Okay. Which Hulu is going pay only, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Those fiends.
Yeah.
I need to sit down and watch a lot of those animes I haven't been watching.
Yeah, they and I know you can pay for the CBS service and get every Star Trek, period. Yeah,
that's you cool. Can also, but
yeah, so I mean, if you're a diehard Star Trek fan, you might already have that subscription service, or that would.
I have enough access to Star Trek without it, though. Like, I can watch old reruns of Next Generation on a number of different channels. Like, I think FX and various other people on that. Original series. I mean, on it. Sorry to spill the beans, but most of those are on YouTube.
Yeah, that's a lot. But,
well. Yeah, you know, and of course, I guess this is for the diehard fan that didn't buy the deluxe box sets, because there are, I guess there's being fewer and fewer people that like the actual media of stuff, you know, to have physical media, but, you know, so, I don't know, it's a big experiment. If it doesn't go over well, I'm willing to bet it starts airing on regular TV.
I'll take that. That's good.
You know, because and
TV people, I know, I understand their side of it, but I feel like they need to get out of the way and just accept that it's going to get online for free. Eventually, you might as well get ad revenue from it. You might as well put it out there yourself for free.
And, you know,
you cannot beat all the hackers. You just can't.
You know, I mean, we've seen some people, they're aware of it. You know, you've seen people do deliberate leaks. Remember during the strike, they leaked the Sarah Connor Chronicles, you know, the pilot that was leaked. And we've seen a couple other, quote, leaked pilots that were really just deliberate leaks to get buzz, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, shows, Game of Thrones is still the most pirated show, and they're making plenty of money off that, you know. And ironically, HBO gets no ad revenue off that. You know, I mean, because you're already paying just to get the channel.
I was reminded of what my final thought is going to be, speaking of Game of Thrones, but yeah. I mean, they, from what I understand, the showrunners of Game of Thrones take it as a compliment that it's the most pirated show.
I mean, well, and, you know, realistically, they should. That means they are making a product that people want. Now, of course, HBO should, I mean, they're the ones that really, like, well, I wish more people were paying for our channel.
Well, yeah, I guess that's true. You know? That the showrunners are already, they've already
they've already paid.
Yeah, they've already received their compensation for delivering the series that HBO ordered. But
Jew is ending. That's going to be a big thing.
Oh, how long has that been going on now?
Let's see.
It's been like a decade, huh?
Like 5 years, yeah. Or 5 years worth of issues over, I think, six or seven. But, yeah, I mean,
well,
that'll be,
good for them.
You know, a big thing, but it's kind of died off a little. You know, let's see. Yeah. Oh no, that to me. I mean, I like the fact that they're coming to a deliberate end. You know, I mean, they've told a really good story. You know, over a really lengthy story, and they were planning. And we've known for a while that this was going to be the end. And I'm glad to see that they haven't change that. Like, this, it's not like, I mean, they said something about 60 being the last issue, you know, a year or two ago. And I'm really glad that we haven't heard, oh, well, we're going to make 72 the last issue. or something like that. Because that's one thing that always just seems to just make bad episodes, issues.
We've talked in the past about how it can be a terrible thing for a good show to become kind of a victim of its own popularity, in a sense, where they artificially extend what they wanted to do just so they could have, you know, an extra season on DVD for people to buy, or have it run a few more years. It is cool to see a show know that they don't have more story to tell and just, you know, end it on their own terms. This seems like this. More than
you may have lost focus on that one.
Oh, yeah.
What? My bad. Screw you, Larry. No, I mean, good shows like Breaking Bad ended on its own terms. Avatar The Last Airbender ended on its own terms. It was all plotted out to take exactly 3 seasons, and it did. Shows like Lost have 2 seasons that are a complete waste of time because they artificially extended the story. Dexter outlived itself by a few seasons.
Definitely.
Well, yeah.
There's a worry that we're starting to see that with shows like Walking Dead now. Can they sustain what people like about the show? It's hard to see at this point.
Well, and you wonder if, like, there's so many fans of the show that don't actually read the comics and stuff like that.
Oh, people don't give a crap about their comics.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, now the show's getting to the point where I stopped caring about the comics. And so, I mean, that kind of lessens my excitement for the show going forward. Because after 100, I really...
Now, and I know a lot of people lost faith then. And... Yeah, they've gotten, you know, really ishy in spots or whatever. And I think when Kirkman took a step back and just giving them points and letting other people write the details, I think it actually got a lot better.
Yeah.
But it's something that I sit and read and trade or in hardback. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be October. Is that still the game plan?
No. It is pretty hard for a comic to, that's not like episodic, like Spider-Man or Superman or whatever, to maintain a single narrative over the course of 100 issues. Just, it's damn hard. Even great ones like Why the Last Man or Ex Machina. Well, okay, a lot of Brian K. Vaughan ones, apparently. They get you about 10 or 12 volumes worth, which is around 60 issues-ish. And even then, some of those can kind of spin their wheels. So 100? That is a daunting order.
Yes, got it. Well,
Oh, now he's losing focus, Larry.
Well, sorry, Larry's at a loss for words. I'm being talked about behind me. And I was trying to hear what they were saying.
Nosy.
Nah, well, it was about me. And really, so, well, some of those issues, a lot of the issues that are early ones that people are are saying lose focus were character development and, you know. So they've got a mixed audience. Like, I really love the character development stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. The zombie stuff, cool. I like to see people in post-apocalypse. You know, I want to see this society develop. You know, when you strip everything, I want to see those human elements of the story. And that's what I want out of the comic, you know. But as far as the show, people kind of want to see zombies tear stuff up. And that's about it. And so, you know, you really have a trouble to mix, you know, that mixed audience of people like me that want the character development. Yeah, you know, I'm watching the show. And right now I'm kind of worried about the upcoming season because of some of the changes they've made.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that make certain things impossible to happen in the future. Or at least the way they did in the comic books. So I know they've eliminated things out of the comic books in the upcoming season because they cannot possibly do that. And I'm not saying that's bad, but some of those things were major character developments.
Well, I mean, they can have workarounds with that, though. I mean,
so, we'll see. No, but I'm still enjoying Fear the Walking Dead. And I think
I haven't watched that yet.
Enjoy that because I have no idea
what's going to happen.
Yeah. And they did a neat flashback this week. Yeah, where you meet a new character, but you meet her, or they start out, you know, and you catch up on how she got there throughout the whole episode. And I thought that was pretty neat. But, and they did a good job with that. Now, other than that, we're slowly working up some stuff for Black Friday. You know, as far as the comics, you know, I'm trying to start working now and arranging deals and specials and special inventory and merchandise and stuff. Now, I've been making some special buys.
Are you guys doing any like Halloween related stuff in here at the shop?
Why? Yes. We did do some sign up for the Halloween Comic Fest. Wherever it's in here, it actually talks about that. So we will have something. I don't know what all we're gonna do, but we will have some comics to give away.
Well, surely there will be a costume contest.
You gonna dress up?
I'm not, but I wouldn't mind coming.
How can I hold a costume contest if you won't dress up?
Well, I've never once claimed to be any good at cosplay, but I do quite enjoy.
That's what makes it more fun for us.
Well, I do quite enjoy coming and seeing people who are good at cosplay dressed up in their stuff.
Well, I'm sure, we will see plenty of little ones in costume. We haven't decided anything like that. We have some other big things we want to do.
Not that it has anything to do with Halloween, but if we could arrange a dunking booth with Gomer and Jules.
We dumped a bucket of ice on both of them.
And me. Yeah, we're all there for that one.
That's as close as we could probably get. If you'd like, we could dump another bucket of ice on y'all.
People listening at home, if you can find the video of that, it's actually kind of worth seeing just to watch Gomer's hair in real time. It has like a Wolverine healing factor. It gets wet and it's like all soaked down to his skull, and then it instantaneously recovers.
It's watching a spring being compressed, and then you like go, where?
Gomer's hair is like the most resilient substance on Earth. I'm legitimately impressed. And this is the only time I've ever been impressed by anything related to Gomer.
There you go, Gomer. I hope you were listening. There's your compliment from Taylor.
It's not going to happen again, so you better appreciate it.
But anyway, do we have any final thoughts for the evening? It is about that time to wrap up. You said you had something Game of Thronesy.
Okay, so Angela Lansbury of Murder, She Wrote fame is apparently in talks to be in Season 7 of Game of Thrones. And that is perhaps the most wonderful news I've heard in a very long time. Because now I'm picturing Jessica Fletcher walking around Westeros, you know, bumbling into crime scenes and, you know, figuring out, like, it's like, oh, I know who married out the Red Wedding. Well, everyone already knows. Like, I don't know. It's just the idea of Angela Lansbury, who seems like such a wholesome, like, has like this wholesome image about her being on Game of Thrones.
Here's your favorite character. It's delightful. And here's why they killed him.
But
and we're gonna have a crossover with the Father Dowling mysteries or whatever.
Sure, why not? I mean, let's just get it all in there. Let's get Matlock in there. Is the guy who played Matlock still alive? Probably not.
I don't know. But, we can CG anything.
Sure, why not? Let's get all, like, the old folk murder mystery shows. Let's get Matlock in there. Let's get,
go ahead and have Perry Mason in there.
Sure, Perry Mason.
Might as well have Scooby in the gang. Yeah.
Sure, let's get Scooby in the gang.
Might as well, yeah. That way they can eat Scooby at some point.
Dude. Well, okay, it's Game of Thrones.
It's Game of Thrones.
Definitely happen.
There's no way Scooby's getting out of it alive.
Maybe he's like a dire Great Dane.
Even all the dire animals. There's only like one or two still left alive.
Ghost is still around.
Arya's
whatever her name
is
was.
Is still running around.
Yeah, well, yeah, you would have Shaggy, you know, hang himself after being tricked into eating Scooby. That's what would happen.
Yeah.
Man, we're going to a dark place. I was wanting to share this whimsical news about the woman from Murder, She Wrote being in Game of Thrones, and now we've gone down a really dark rabbit hole here.
That's what Game of Thrones does,
you know. Yeah, I was asking for it. I should have known. Oh, well. All right, someone else?
I don't even know, man. I don't think I have one this week.
I'm disappointed in you, Adam.
Well, when are you? What you when are you?
I'm normally not disappointed.
Walking Dead, little Paper Girls revival, Killer.
Yeah, Paper Girls. I trade watch for that one, but yeah, I'm glad that it's off of hiatus recently.
Which one?
Paper Girls.
Oh yes, I really like that one. I actually enjoy it, but
it was very good.
Walking Dead is my.
For those of you who don't know, Lauren probably at one point held the most independent titles on her hold list.
Yes, I had at least 80, I'm pretty sure.
You were about 150 at one point.
Yeah, had a lot.
Different titles.
I had to come back. I was spending all my money.
I thought Jules got a lot.
I work over at Outback. I'd come over here and spend my tips, just buy me some comics, which I ain't complaining because they're great. But I had to consolidate, you know.
So what are you most excited about coming out this week?
I don't know. This Mama Tip Saves the World looks pretty interesting.
Interesting title.
Yes. For sure. Interesting title. So I figured that one. But, like, this stack was the most amazing stack I'd picked up. Like, Red. Red 1 came back, I see. Super pumped about that because it was really good. Let's see. S6X, as it would be.
Yeah, Sheriff of Babylon. That's by 451, which is. That is the movie director that everybody hates that did transform Michael Bay.
Maybe that's why I like it. There's some like cheesy.
When I first heard that, I'm like, how is he gonna make comics blow up?
That'd be interesting to like open like the middle page and it's like there's like some gunpowder rape.
Yeah, hidden in the comic. Beauty's also a great one. Beauty's really amazing.
Issue is that on now?
This is issue number 10. And I love all the covers. They always have different variants.
They do have really good art on the covers.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Beauty is a very interesting concept where, you know, you can catch this STD that makes you lose all your body fat, regrow your hair, increase your secondary features. So if you're a woman, your breast gets bigger. If you're a man, your junk gets bigger. And you grow more muscles, and you become this ideal sculpt of beauty.
Now I'm guessing it, like, kills you or something? Otherwise,
that's part of the mystery.
All right.
But, you know.
Yeah, they're trying to stop that from happening, figuring out something to stop that from happening. But they're pretty much clear. Everybody kind of wants this disease. I mean, they just sleep around and they're like, oh, I got the beauty. Cool, it's not. It just makes me beautiful. Then they find out later.
And it takes like a year or so for this to affect. Yeah. By the time the first person dies, what is it, like 75-80% of the world has it?
Yeah, something like that. Like some big number for sure. It's been a minute. I need to reread them since we're on number 10. I mean, I keep up with them, obviously, but it's fun to go back and reread them sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Like every year or so, I like to go reread some of the ongoing titles.
Then it's like you have to open your little sealed.
That's what you get the yearly hardbacks in for.
True.
You
know? But see, I don't know. There's something about it. I love just having that issue, like the tangible each issue. I don't know. I mean, I like the trades and everything, but having this.
Well, I like the comics and the trades. Yeah. The reading the monthly is a different experience than going back and getting caught up with reading a bunch of trades.
Most of my indie books I do pick up and trade. The exception is Wicked and the Divine because
I've heard that's super amazing.
Can't wait for that.
I don't know why I didn't start reading it. I wanted to, but I think I had so many other titles going on. I was like, oh, maybe some point. But
it's a really good collaboration between Kieran Gillen Gillen and Jamie McKelvey, they made a Phonogram.
I've read that, yeah.
And they did a... What was it? Was it Young Avengers?
They did a Young Avengers, yeah.
Yeah, that run was really awesome. They're a great team, and Wiccan and Divine is up
to should years. Check out a lot of Taylor's recommendations, because you, Amanda, and Taylor... here all have
pretty similar taste
on a lot of the independent stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you found something new every time I come over here. You know, I get my box, but then I have to look over here because something will just catch my eye right off
the
bat.
Like Step Aside Pops was a trade.
Oh, yeah, that was Kate Beaton.
Amanda's wanted me to. I ordered that specifically for her, and you were like the only other person that had ever heard of that book. And yeah,
it's a web comic called Hark a Vagrant, written by a history major, and it's basically just a bunch of little silly vignettes and puns and things like that. But it's really well done. So, Step Aside Pops and Hark a Vagrant. Yeah, they got the seal of approval.
Seal of approval, for sure. Yeah. And, like, I don't know, I just came, I'm like, oh my goodness, each one of these comics I'm looking forward to. Like, Nailbiter, every time I turn the page, I get a little bit scared, because it's getting really scary. So I'm literally reading it, and I'm like, okay, it's fine to look, okay, and then I'll turn the page, and I'm, like, peeking, and yeah.
Well, currently I'm on the edge of my seat for the new volume of Lazarus and, Black Magic, whenever those get around.
I started reading that, and then that's when I kind of had to cut back and stuff, but that was really good. First couple issues that I read. Oh, wow. For sure.
Lazarus is Gomer's favorite book.
Alright, well, thanks for checking in.
Always.
Which means
thank
I will
you.
Never read it, because Gomer is always wrong. Nice.
That was one of our...
Well, Gomer's actually right about it.
I know. Lazarus is a good book.
Ah. Well, yeah, that was nice to get a new perspective in.
And we're back with a slight technical glitch. Once again, the makers of this fine open source program, Audacity, the program itself is locked up, but we were just noticing that Outright Geekery has been mentioned.
For PyPy Classics number 52 of all books.
Yeah. you know. In the previews, which Popeye, we do actually sell a couple of issues of that compared to a lot of other of the kids' comics. You know, it is a good, consistent seller.
Well, I mean, there's a reason it's been around for as long as it has been. It's
part of the popular culture. You know, classic character. Yeah,
but you know, that is kind of cool seeing people, you know, see that our website is, it's out there. People are looking at it.
We're being noticed.
We are. Oh, I could just die of embarrassment right now.
People care about us when we say nice things about
them.
Yeah,
we see
they
nice
like us. They really like us.
And I'm actually, and it's great when people tell me they actually listen to our insane rambling podcast.
You know, you people are saints, honestly. You have the patience I could not fathom.
Yeah, I don't even listen to this crap. I mean, yeah.
Or you could be like Gomer and only listen when he's on it.
Only listen when he's on it, yeah.
Well, you see, how do you know we're talking about you if you're not listening?
Well, we'll probably tell him like in the message thread that, hey, we talked about you quite a lot, Gomer.
Really? Yeah. I just tell him, listen hard. It's hidden.
Nah, yeah, I gave you a compliment tonight, Gomer, so you better
appreciate
that.
Yeah, we should just
that.
Tell Gomer we talk about him every episode. Have we had Mouth of Jules this episode?
Not much.
But that's because Jules doesn't exist anymore.
That is true.
He's just a voice on the computer that I hear once a week. So really, he could just be a really good computer program.
Yeah, Jules has just... He's retreated into cyberspace. I honestly can't remember the last time I physically saw Jules.
I saw him
last
here,
month, maybe?
Yeah, I saw him at the shop about a month ago.
Man. You know what? I miss you, Jules. I wish you'd come around more often. Yeah, screw you, Adam. Oh, well. Okay, it sounds like we should wrap it up. Yeah, well, check out that blurb and previews.
Yeah, now you have to buy PyPy Classics number 52 because we said nice things about it, apparently.
And we're never wrong.
Never.
Not even once.
Well.
Yeah, screw you, Adam.
Gomer's wrong.
Okay, Gomer is frequently wrong. Not about Lazarus, though.
Not about Lazarus. Lazarus is great.
Yeah.
Jules is wrong.
Alright, classic. Well, Jules. That's been all for here in Madison, Tennessee.
Son of Maddie.
At Comic City 2. Which you can come and randomly join our podcast. We record it every day between 7 and 8:30, or 7 and 9 apparently tonight.
Not every day.
Not every day. Every week on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
We got a little bit of a late start today. But yeah, come by, join us, give us your 2 cents. Come by, insult Taylor. You know, he loves it. He likes to see the fans.
Just know he will insult you back.
Or better yet.
And he will make you cry because he's done it to people before.
Better yet, come join us. And yes. come join us and insulting other people that aren't here.
I knew I drove people away. I didn't know I meant to actually physically cry.
Oh, good night, Elaine. Even.
Yes. Yeah, good night, Elaine. Because Elaine still exists. Elaine's
Elaine seems like a good kid. Yeah.
Yeah. And oh, hey! Apparently, they're releasing Saga action figures. That's unique.
Oh, really?
It's pretty.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Unusual for a lot of independent comics, than Saga's, Spawn and
Saga's pretty big. I mean, they just swept the Harvey Awards again this year, so.
Saga is damn good.
Not the Harvey Awards. It was the Ice.
I think it was Harvey. Hugo.
I don't know. One of the big comics.
I think it was Harvey. Whatever. The point is that, yes, Saga continues to wow the critics. It has still been pretty good.
Okay, bye.
Well, see you next week.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba. Burp.